be able to hear it later.
Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show on Blog Talk Radio. Today is July 29th. I'm your host, Lucinda, coming to you from sunny Arizona with my co-host, Robert Lloyd. Our topic tonight is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. And tonight we have a fantastic show for you. We're going to hear from retired NFL players Joe Kelly and Lonzo Hill. And
Hello.
You guys are on the air. Hang on just a second.
All right.
Rob,
all right,
I'm
going
to hand it over to you tonight for a minute, Rob.
Okay. How you doing, Miss Lucinda? And how's everything going, first of all?
That's great.
That's great. Like she said, people, we got a great show for you tonight. We got my main man in them on here, Mr. Joe Kelly, NFL player, retired. And we got my man, Lonzo Hill, NFL player, retired. And they here to talk tonight about the Streets Don't Love You Back and what could have caused them from not making their dream happen in the streets. But and God blessed them to make that dream happen and not deter in the street. So we're here tonight to talk about that with them. And I just want to say how you doing, Joe, and how you doing, Lonzo, tonight?
Doing good. Great.
Well.
Yeah, appreciate it. You know, show.
Dig that. So first of all, I'm going to start off talking to Joe Kelly. And I just wanted you to enlighten people on who you are a little bit more and what's going on with you, Joe.
Okay. Appreciate being on the show, brother. First of all, everybody, my name is Joe Kelly. Originally born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. Was very fortunate, very blessed to come out of that, you know, the gang-banging, you know, drug and environment and get a scholarship to University of Washington back in 1982. So I guess I just dated myself, but that's cool. Played at University of Washington for 4 years with some great players and was very honored and very blessed to be a first-round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals in the 1986 draft. Actually went on fortunate to play in, you know, a Super Bowl. And played 11 years in the NFL, retired in 1997. And upon my retirement, I settled here in Cincinnati and started Kelly Youth Services. What Kelly Youth Services is group homes and independent, semi-independent living facilities for boys and girls ages 8 to 21. These are kids that are at risk, abused, neglected kids. And the main thing for me was putting together a fantastic staff that wanted to work with this particular population. You know, and I think I've succeeded in that. You know, so it's definitely a mission of mine and a mission of, you know, everybody that's working with Kelly Services.
That's great. And I'm going to go over just a little bit to my man, Lonzo Hill. And, Lonzo, I want you to tell the viewers a little bit about you as well. And also I want you to tell the viewers a little bit about how you and Joe met back in the day as well, up to the date to now.
Yes. I am also glad to be on your show. First of all, I'm very blessed. I'm from Stockton, California, born and raised. When I was born and raised in Stockton, California, at that time, Stockton, California had the highest death rate in America. And for me to be blessed to get up out of there, you know, ball was my way out because that was my safe haven. I went to the University of Washington where I met Joe Kelly. He was a sophomore there. I was a freshman. We hit it off from start to finish, and as you see, we're still here after about 25, 26 years. I was also fortunate enough to be drafted second round to the University, not from the University of Washington to the New Orleans Saints. Played there for 4.5 years. I was injured, knee injury. Went to Canada for another 4 years, Hamilton Tiger-Cats, and also the Memphis Mad Dogs when they made the expansion. Went from there to 10 years senior director at another organization in the greater Seattle area, and been recruited by one of the best friends that that a man can have in 13, 14 years, and finally came to fruition this year, this February, that I got down with the vision. We had the same vision of dealing with youth, but they were, you know, just different parts of the country. Let's bring two heads together, and I believed in everything that was being done here with Keller Youth Services and the direction it was going, and the need that was here in the Cincinnati area. And that's what brought me here, you know, good friendship, good mission, and the good works, as you would say.
And that's what's happening right there, you know. And I want to go right back over to you, Joe, and I want to you to enlighten people that don't know. You got into helping the youths out, and you got into dealing with the youths because you've seen a need to, you know, and brighten their horizon from the streets into something good. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, growing up in South Central L.A. and seeing, you know, all the different things that kids, you know, encounter. And in one sense, even for me, and I know in most kids, well, you know, finding out in every urban area, you know, not only in the United States, every urban area in the world, you know, the things that we deal with, other kids don't have to deal with, you know, from, you know, the gang violence to the murder rate to the drugs to, you know, the unemployment to the one household families. You know, you know, in one sense, it becomes a norm, you know, so kids, you know, a lot of kids are not, you know, given, you know, an opportunity, you know, a lot of times just kids' situation. You know, you look at that, and I think the thing about me, I was just, you know, fortunate to have, you know, I came from a praying family, you know, so, you know, being in a lot of situations in Los Angeles and being fortunate to come out of, you know, situations whether or not it was gang situations, you know, whether or not, you know, I was putting myself, you know, in stupid situations that could have definitely, you know, impacted, you know, my life, and instead of leading the life that I'm living now, you know, I could have easily went the wrong way. You know, I was just blessed, you know, a couple of times just not getting caught stealing stuff, you know, just dumb things, and then been put in a situation where I could help kids, you know, and I think that's just a natural progression that I had, just, you know, helping kids and seeing kids in unfortunate situations. A lot of kids are, you know, being raised in houses that, you know, there's no father. Not only there's no father, there's, you know, no positive male role model, period, whether or not that's an older brother or uncle or dad, anybody, you know. And I think that's one of the biggest things for me that really keeps me going, you know, doing this 12 years now. And, you know, just I don't even recall meeting five fathers that were involved with their sons, you know, and I'm talking about Cincinnati, Ohio. So, you know, if it's like this in Cincinnati, Ohio, I can only imagine what it's like, you know, in the Californias and, you know, the Chicagos and the Detroits and the New Yorks, you know. It's tough. You know, a lot of kids are dealt a bad hand, you know, and, you know, if they're shown the way, if they're guided, you know, and that's what, you know, stern discipline, and that's what love, that's what compassion, you know, empathy, sympathy, that's with all that, you know. I think some of them have a chance.
Right, and I agree with that, you know, Joe. A lot of kids, you know, get out here and get caught up, you know, because of a lot of situations out here. And when I was younger, you know, like I joined the gang at 10 years old, you know, my dad was a very prominent guy, but, you know, he wasn't in our household, you know what I mean? So it my story is something just like all the rest of the cats that come from the hood, you know. But I had the vision that my mother was all I had, so I had to listen to what mom said regardless of how I was thugging. I had to listen to, you know, the woman that was really head of the household, you know. So it made me think a little bit more than a lot of my homeboys that was thinking, you know. So I agree with you on that right there. And I'm going to go to Lonzel, you know what I mean? And I want you to tell us a little bit about some of your situations, Lonzo, that could have brought you from not reaching your goal in life to do something positive.
You know, it goes back to, as I was saying, I grew up in, you know, I had a dad who actually played in the NFL. But I was, you know, when I say that, people think that, okay, well, you was an NFL kid. But I actually grew up in the projects in Stockton, California. And my first cousin, my whole thing was that we looked around us and there were so many drug deals, so many gang banging, so many criminal activity, all of that. Our thing was that we wanted to get out of Stockton, California, and my actual thing was to go to college and become get into the criminal justice system so we can put all of them in jail. And that was the thing that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were like, yeah, we, you know, because it wasn't a fear factor there. We're gonna lock them all up. Fortunately, I had the talent and the ability to escape out of there through athletics, and that was my safe haven. And when you know, when they say came out with the Just Say No and all this here, you know, it was so close to me that it couldn't just say no. I had to say go is what I always say. I had to just say go get your ass out of there and go somewhere where you need to be.
So
what I did, I went and played ball. You know, and I had cats today that I can tell you some of my best friends that you won't see them because they're not here.
Right.
You know, because of the choices that they made. You know, and I explained to guys that I wasn't even the best athlete in my actually, growing up, you know, I had one other guy who was better than me, but he chose to go the other way.
And you know, his other way didn't do right, did it?
His other way did not do right, and
yeah,
his other way is still the other way, and there's people going that way. But I'm fortunate enough, I'm able to show them that this is the way that I went and to lead them into my direction opposed to the other direction. And that's just, you know, that's just a blessing. And just like you know, my boy Joe Kelly, you know, I grew up in a very godly household. My grandmother was, you know, kept me at church, you know, drag you by the ear, stuff you in the head when you talk in church or whatever.
All of that.
Whatever,
they don't know.
Whatever the case may be, you know. So it's just a fortunate to give back. And I think that me and Joe Kelly and the guys we work with, you know, played ball, it's just, you know, this is something that every kid in America dreams about doing. You know, and realistically, you look at us, you're the best in the world. You know, you're the best in the world at what you do. You know, because you don't get no better than the NFL.
You already know.
There is nobody better.
You already
and,
know.
You know, to show you that, you know, this is what we did. Don't see me now, but see me, you know. Look at what, this is where I came from.
Right, look down the stretch.
This is where you can go. Look down
right.
the stretch.
Look so down the stretch. You feel me? I might have been messed up then, but I ain't now.
That's right.
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, we having a great show tonight with my man Lonzel Hill and my man Joe Kelly. We going to go to a song right quick, and when we come back from that song, we're going to have Miss Lucinda ask them some questions. And right now, we're going to go to that real good song, God and Protect Us.
Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious.
grace and your countenance, Lord. You show me the light and the dark, now I shall repent. Yeah, with all of my strength I will fight with an iron fist, Lord. The breeders of hate and the seed till they don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice, so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. When enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah, and slaughter the wicked quickly with no thought or shame, Lord. For my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. No, I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face. Boy, I never can give in a praise for your tenderness, Lord. To be in your infinite grace is my happiness. Yeah, no matter the time or the place, you're omnipotent, Lord. You show me the light and the dark, so I shall repent. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice, so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tread the long rocky road. The buffalo soldier fights the power, freedom, boy. The last step on the throne. The conquering disciples burn your congregation. Yeah. Collect the security. We build a better nation. Time beside the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things. We're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here at Blog Talk Radio. And we definitely still right here chilling with my man Joe Kelly and Lonzel Hill. And we're going to go to one commercial before we let Miss Lucinda get at him. We're going to go to the A&A Printing commercial.
Okay.
A&A Printing. Whether you need a million novels printed or just a few flyers, you owe it to yourself to check out A&A Printing. With A&A Printing, you can turn your next project or marketing campaign into an economic success. A&A Printing is priced to fit your small business budget. So give them a call at 206-285-1700 and ask for Steve, or email at sales@aaprinting.com. That's 206-285-1700. 206 285-1700, A&A Printing. Don't forget, ask for Steve and tell him the streets don't love you back, sent you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're right back here at Blog Talk Radio, the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, baby, living in live. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to turn it over to Miss Lucinda and let her do her thing.
Yeah, once again, we'd like to thank Mr. Steve Agnew from A&A Printing. He's the one that's printing the Streets Don't Love You Back book as we speak, so it will be coming out soon. We will keep everyone updated as to when that book will be coming out. And thanks for joining us, Joe and Lonzel. It's good to hear from you guys again.
Okay, no problem. Glad
yes, indeed.
Thank you. We just, you know, I heard a little bit of Joe's story once before, but I wanted you guys to each maybe tell a story or two of a decision that you could have made back in high school that would have changed your whole life. And, you know, in an instance that, you know, just, something, one small thing that you know.
I can, I have, you know, a couple, but, I mean, the one that stands out clearly in my mind was my senior year in high school, being that I was the area that my high school was in was an area that, and as far as the gangs, it was populated mainly by Bloods. And so most of the guys I knew were Bloods, but we did have Crips in our school. So me and I had just signed a scholarship to University of Washington. I was having a big senior party at my house, and guys came over, and then next thing you know, a couple Crips wanted to come over to the party, and I was like, no, you know, I'm not going to have none of that riffraff, you know, at my mom's house. So did let them come in. Next thing you know, Brick comes through the window, and you talk about in an instant. Took off after the guys. My buddies had a 12-gauge sawed-off shotgun, and in an instant, I caught up with the guy on the corner, a block from my mom's house, knocked the guy down, grabbed the shotgun, put the shotgun right to his face, you know, right in his mouth. And as quick as I did that, I got the gun, and I was looking at this guy. This guy was terrified, but in the same instance, I basically told my, you know, I didn't want to say me. It was God just saying, man, what are you doing? You talking about in an instant with rage, you know, with rage and anger. Not that, you know, I didn't have a legitimate gripe because he busted my window, but here I would have took another, you know, young black man's life over a window. You know, and you don't even, you know, things happen so quick, you don't even think of that. You know, and instead of me, you know, I had just signed a scholarship, I don't know, a month before that, on the way to college, honor student, you know, and didn't know 4 years later, you know, I would be a number one draft pick with a $1 million contract. I could have been in prison, you know, the rest of my life. I know Alonzo said earlier, as far as we had another linebacker on my high school team named Walter Cole, who was better than me. Now, you got to understand, when I say he was better than me, I leave Jefferson High School in 82, and in 1986, I'm the number one linebacker in the world, ranked.
Right.
You know, and was a first-round pick. Well, I went to the NFL. Walter Cole decided to, you know, his father and his older brother, who was a quarterback on our team, they both, you know, so dope. We're in the pimping. That's what his dad was. His dad was a pimp, not one of these fake pimps. His dad was a pimp. He follows that same path. And it was ironic because he went to prison in York, Pennsylvania, from selling dope and pimping. I went on to play in the NFL. And the crazy thing, when I retired in 1997, he got out of prison in York, Pennsylvania in 1997. So I go to college, play professional ball. After high school, he get caught up. He goes to prison. You know, so he was in prison a little over 15 years. You know, so that could have been me.
Right.
You know, so you know, it was just in that environment. You know, it wasn't even thought about. We was gonna get this guy. We was gonna take care of him. You know, do our business, and not even thinking. And I'm a pretty sound. I'm a pretty stable dude. You know, and in that quick, you know, I would have went from what I not knowing what I could have had in my future to, you know, living the life that, you know, a whole lot of kids in urban areas living in. That's being a convicted felon. And now, even if I was released 15, 20 years later, you know, facing that life being a convicted felon. You know, so, you know, I thank God, you know, that, you know, he was able to intervene, you know, right then and there. You know, because I wouldn't have been, you know, where I am. I wouldn't have, you know, met all the people that I met in my life. You know, so, you know, my life is blessed every day.
Amen. Right. That's a great thing.
Right. Well, we're glad to see that you made the right choice at that last instant, that you had that opportunity to not make the wrong decision.
So we're going to go to my man Lonzell. You know what I mean? You can let us know about what's one of your incidents that happened in your life that could have changed your whole life from not even being where you at today.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank God that I wasn't where Joe was, because Joe would have probably been one of the cats that I would have been trying to put in jail, you know, coming up with that type of attitude, you know.
Right.
It's just, you know, coming up, it's all about, it was all about decision-making for me. You know, as I said, it was nothing but killing, stabbing, shooting, drinking, smoking. My father, you know, who has the greatest testimony in the world, who's now with Chester Vision Ministries, was strung out on crack cocaine for the entire childhood of myself, even though he played ball, you know, and this is one of his greatest testimonies, and this is one of the things that I grew up, my thing was to fight against becoming that drug addict, fight against becoming, I was angry, you know, you know, people say something about your daddy, I seen your daddy over here, whoop, and I say my daddy is what? You know, your daddy owe my uncle $25, and I go whoop his ass. You know, these are the kind of things that I had to grow up in, the choices that I had to make. My grandfather actually raised myself and my brother, who he passed away in the eighth grade. So my life-changing moment was me becoming that man of my household and having to bring up and raise my brother. You know, so I had to make all the decisions for not only myself but for the household. So the friends that we had to make with, and when I tell these kids that the choices that you guys are making, you think, you know, that are so tough, you don't think that we made those choices. But if I told you the stories and the choices and how I had to walk to the store and how I had to go and make sure that we had enough money, how I had to go out here and hustle and play cards, that's why I'm so good today. So if Joe ever wants to play me cards, no. But and had to go
my
out
man.
Here. and that was my thing. I was a natural-born hustler. I talked fast. I knew it. And there was nothing that I couldn't do and that I couldn't get. And I had to do that because of the family, but I knew that if I was to go or if I was to do something stupid as to be, you know, carrying guns, because a gang of my partners carried guns, but that's not what I was going to do. I had to make money for my family because I'm heading this household. So
right.
that was, you know, it was those choices. And you know, coming up, you know, there was situations where I'd be the fool and I cheat so much, and my brother always tell me today, say, man, I trust you with my life, but I never play you in no games because you cheat.
Right.
You know?
My man.
Everybody remember that.
Don't play no cards with Lonzell. My man.
It's all those things. And as Joe said, it's decisions we make and the things that we're able to share with these kids, man. It's so beautiful. And the things that you're able to share with these kids through the Streets Don't Love Your Back, the things that, the, you know, life experiences and what we, you know, and what we want to do. And you know, I speak for my man Joe. We are here, we're living testimony of what can be done. You know,
Amen.
It ain't that I'm just telling you this. I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know.
And done lived.
You know,
yeah.
So that's what it's all about. And you know, it's about giving back and everybody who done made it, somebody down the line done steered us in the right direction.
Amen.
Right.
That's real talk, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that out here. You know, they think when the older cats tell them something, you know, they think we ain't lived that or been through that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you don't have to go through that, bruh, if you just sit and take a minute to listen. You know what I mean? Because everybody out there that's saying they're your homeboy, they're your friend, bruh, them cats ain't your friend or your homeboy. Soon as you get caught up and they get in that back room, bro, they can say 6 months or a year. They telling on their grandmama. You feel me?
Telling on
them. It ain't like the old days. It ain't like the old days where they say you get 10 years, and my man say, get that to me, I'm going to walk that down. You say six months to a year. These cats, you know what I mean? Grandmama lived next door, right there. She got everything at the house. You know what I mean? But in the old days, in the 80s and 70s, you get 10 or 20, cats going to take that and ride with it. So it's been a flip through the game through the years, you know what I mean? And a lot of these cats are so watered down nowadays, you know what I mean? It's no gangs, you know what I mean? It's no real thugs, you know what I mean? These cats panamizing after something they see on TV or after that something they see somebody else done did, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So
that's
they
right.
have to wake up and understand that the penitentiary is the real penitentiary. It's not something you see on TV. You know what I mean? And death is real, you know?
Right,
and
right,
the streets
right.
will never love you back. You feel me? So it's best to listen to guys out here that done walked that walk and done did that thing and done been able to rejuvenate through the grace of God and the help of other people out here. So that's been a blessing in my life, and I see it's been a blessing in you and Joe life as well, Lonzel, you know?
No doubt.
I would like for my man Paul, he's online. Would you like to ask them anything, Paul? You're online tonight.
Hold on. Let me get him on there again. Hang on. Hello, Paul?
Hi, Lucinda.
Hey, yeah, Paul. We have you on the air now.
Yeah, we wanted to tell you, Paul, you know, if you would like to ask Joe or Lonzel anything tonight, you know what I mean? They're right there to, you know, if you can ask them any questions you would like to ask.
Let me just tell Joe and Lonzel that Paul is from Southern Arizona, and he works with a lot of the kids down in the southern part of Arizona dealing with the same kind of things that you guys are doing.
Okay.
Amen. That's where my dad is located, Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I'm down in the Tucson area down here, and I more southern, close to the border, the Nogales and Tucson area.
Yeah.
But I've also been to Florence and the detention center, and I've been listening to everything you guys have said. And most of the kids that you know that I talked to, you know, you guys have been right on in regards to, you know, not having a parent. Usually when I go in the detention centers or the Florence prison to talk with these kids about, and I see kids from 9 years old all the way to 17.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know. Someone shows money to them and, you know, they're brought in at that age, and then they're a criminal at the age of 9 or 10 years old. That doesn't get erased from the record. So that's the sad part about that, because when they go to apply for a job or a student loan or something, when they want, that's always going to be there. And
no doubt.
To ask you guys a question is, you know, how have you built your foundations within your areas, and do you get grants from the government or things like that? You apply for those things to help you kind of use your own resources?
Well, our program, you know, is, you know, we're 501c3, we're a nonprofit organization. You know, our program is based off of kids. All of our kids are court appointed, so therefore they are wards of the state, either permanent or temporary. And when that's the case, the state pays a per diem for the kids. So our programs are based off the per diem we receive. And actually partnered up with Lonzel, bringing him here to Cincinnati, because he's been in similar programs, but some of his programs were strictly funded through grants. So I, in the whole time that Kelly Youth Service has been in existence, we've, you know, I've never applied for grants because our funding was from another source. But, you know, trying to expand, you know, our program and expand our wings, basically, so we can touch more kids is to touch, tap into those grants, you know, that are out there. So, you know, we can broaden our horizons and touch more people and even, you know, extend our wings past, you know, Cincinnati, Ohio, you know, going back to, you know, Seattle, going to L.A., going to Atlanta. I mean, we, you know, Kentucky, we're you know, my vision is, you know, is actually trying to touch, you know, down in every NFL city. You know, that's our goal. So my thing is to bring in people, you know, who have that vision. So in order, you know, to be able to expand that surrounding yourself with, you know, people who share the same vision that you have, you know, so we can reach that.
Yes.
Well, that's great. The one thing I'm starting a book, but the one thing I found out speaking with a lot of these kids is that from the time they get out of school at 3 o'clock to the hours of 3 to 6 are the most crucial hours in where kids get in trouble, because they say that there's nothing to do. There's no programs. There's nothing after school, unless you're an athlete. And I was listening to that, and I think without athletics, where I grew up at, I would have been more involved in the drug aspect and more trouble if I wouldn't have had sports as an outlet. So I'm trying to bring that 3 to 6 p.m. time frame to get funding for that, so I can bring that to some of the schools here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And when you mentioned that three to six window, the reason that 3 to 6 window is so crucial is because at 3 o'clock the kids are out, and at 3 o'clock the parents are still at work. And
exactly.
And the thing is, it's not basically just athletics. You know what it is what we need to do is just find out what the kids like to do. You know, a lot of times we have in our minds what we think they like to do, and that's just not it. You know, and I used to tell people, if you just opened up a place where they can just go somewhere and talk, there you got that time where you got those kids, you got their minds, and one thing that we want to do is to expose them to a lot of new things is one thing that we're about here in KYS too, and it seems like you're on those same grounds, and through those funding opportunities, as Joe said, as we branch out and tap in, you know, if there are suggestions that we can share, that you can share with us, because we don't have the know-all or the solve-all. You know, it you know, the old adage, it takes a village, and that's what it is. You know, but the vision and the eyes open, we'll get it done.
My man, you know, and I have to definitely speak on that too, Lonzel and Paul. A lot of times kids be like, ain't nothing to do and all that. Well, that's just a, you know what I mean, a excuse, you know what I mean? Because there's so many things to do. You can go to the library and read you a book. You can go to the library and get educated on reading a lot of different things, you know what I mean? So
right.
You choose to sit around the house. You choose to sit around and be around the wrong people. And then that's your excuse. There's nothing to do. There's plenty to do out here to educate your mind, and there's plenty to do out here to do the right thing and make the right choice, you know? So a lot of times it'd be a lot of kids just using everything for excuse, because a lot of them in this time of day is lazy, first of all. I got to put that out there. Second of all, they very disrespectful towards their parents, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when they with their so-called homeboys, you know, their so-called homeboys supposed to be all this and that. But then when the gate fly open, ain't no homeboys around. When you look around, dust done flew, you know what I mean? So we have to be very careful on when we really deal and talk to these kids out here, you know, because they'll try to flip the game, you know what I mean? And a lot of them is good at flipping the game instead of really realizing that, look, you are doing wrong, and look, you do need to be in somebody's library. You do need to be in some kind of educational thing, and you can find that yourself sometime. And then if you need some help, don't be ashamed or don't be afraid to ask. That is definitely the message out here to these young youths out here today.
Right, and I'll say one thing on that there. To me, nothing to do is like my son telling me it ain't nothing to eat. And
my
I
man.
Open up the and I open up the refrigerator.
And it's a whole bunch in there.
Again, he's just too lazy to do it for himself.
Right. You know, ain't no food in there. But you go in there, you got grapes, bananas, pears, and strawberries. Now, which one that you did not want? That's up
that's
in this
right.
refrigerator, young man.
Right.
Yeah,
one
man.
Wasn't in there, huh? They told because one wasn't in there that day.
That's right. They told because the apples wasn't in there. They said it wasn't nothing in there.
It wasn't nothing in there.
Hey, we have been definitely having a great show tonight. We with my man Paul from down in Tucson. We with my man Lonzo Hill and Joe Kelly. And we with definitely Miss Lucinda. We're going to go to a song right quick, and we're going to get right back. We're going to go to the Streets Don't Love You Back. You know, we'll be right back with you.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with the Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD, talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love if you want to, but know these streets, they don't love you, they don't love you.
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you.
Yeah, this track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing. You feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is just, I gotta go and get a bit. God, he caught up the mood. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born. We all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all this truth is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm a bust. I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. And lies, tried to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals so you never stray away. Let the past be the past and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
let
on.
Let us all be checking back in with you, like I said. It's that traffic knowledge that you young brothers and sisters understand. That hey, the street life, that's a dead issue. That's a dead game. That's all washed up. Let's get our life together. Let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome right back here at the Blog Talk Radio, baby. The streets don't love you back. With Lucinda, my host, Joe Kelly, and my man Lonzel Hill, and my man Paul out of Tucson. We back, ladies and gentlemen. So, Miss Lucinda, you can ask the questions you need to ask some more, and we're going to keep it moving with a great show tonight.
Okay, well, I just wanted to remind all of our listeners that the show is uncensored and live, and I called it, or made the mistake maybe of calling it family-oriented, but then I, you know, recanted, because it should be family-oriented, meaning that, you know, things that happen out in the streets are real. The thug gang, drug life is very real. It's very violent. It's very abusive. But your kids are in it and around it. And, you know, some of the adults might be naive and think that they're not. But, you know, there's young kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, that are carrying guns in our schools and in our communities. And so we need to listen to this, you know, if you want to listen to it first and then listen to it again with your kids. But we need to sit down as families and talk to our kids about the things that are going on and find out what they know and what they're doing out there. And so that's what I mean by being family-oriented. You know, we need to get together as families, as communities, and talk to the children and teach them through our experiences, through the things we've gone through, and find out what they know and help them to get through their young years so that they can become good adults in our communities. So, with that being said, do you guys have anything to add to that?
I do. Okay. And I was listening to you, and I was sort of dissecting, and I think you said a mouthful, because it is definitely a family situation, because if they don't sit down with their kids and teach them, somebody else will. So that's just the fact. The fact of life, that's just what's going to happen. If you don't sit down with yours and teach them, somebody else going to sit down and teach them what you don't want them to know. So that, adding on that, I think you said a mouthful, and I do think, you know, that parents, you know, we have to be not naive to the fact to think that our kids are not doing the things that the kid next door that we see, and we sit down and say, baby, I cannot believe that kid is doing that, and yours is doing the same thing. You just ain't looked over there.
My man. Say that again, Brother Hill. You just ain't looked over your shoulder, because he is definitely in the back tripping.
He's closing your eyes.
Yeah, he's definitely over there tripping. But, you know what I mean, no sooner than you look back up, he over there sitting on the front porch like, Mama, I didn't steal that candy bar at the store, knowing good well you just put that in your pocket. You know what I mean? And Mom and Daddy got a whole bunch of money at the house. You feel me?
That's right.
But you want to do what the poor man in the hood doing. And that's what used to trip me out so much, man, you know, back in Detroit. You know what I mean? We come from the ghetto and the black bottoms, man, and, you know, the worst neighborhood in the city. And you got cats want to come from the suburbs, drown them. Man, we trying to get out of here, man. What flow
right.
you just came off of? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, we trying to get out of here, and here you come with your pants hanging down, thinking you want to be a thug in a gang. Man, get back to the suburbs, man. You know what I mean? And stop tripping and pull a belt out and spank him and say, pull your pants up, man, and go home to your parents. You know? I mean,
right.
It's real talk, because that's what used to happen back in the day, man. You know? Used to get whooped and took back home, you feel me, and
that's
got
right.
another
that's
one.
Right.
You
that's
dig?
Right.
Now, you try to do that nowadays to these kids, they end up, the parents on the news called the kid done killed the parents.
Right.
because the parents trying to chastise them. So that's where the game done got straight twisted out here in this era of life. You know what I mean? You can disrespect your parents nowadays. You can walk over your parents. You can do anything you want to do. And me, myself, I want to exactly say this on the show tonight. I think the government broke the family oriented down when they came with all that 421 kids thing. You know what I mean? If your parents whoop you, call me. I'm on my way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when we was growing up, you got your ass whooped, bottom line. You know what I mean? Mama didn't care who you was calling. You feel me? And like you said, Lonzel, they got you by that ear, and you down that street. You feel
down
me?
That street.
Right.
And with the you can have they had the extension cord or the belt or the broom. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
See, and I think the government they twisted everything when they started putting that in kids' mind. If your parents chastise you, call me, and I'm on my way to get you. But see, they twisted them when they on their way to get you. That mean they finna take you away from parents, and you finna be locked up too somewhere. So that's where you become the ward of the state at. So that's where you become the ward of the state at. And now everybody, you know what I mean, done lost. That is no win-win situation because you thinking they finna come get mom and dad from whooping your ass for what you did wrong, stealing out the stove. And all of a sudden, you locked up. Mom and dad still at the crib.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So we definitely have to teach these kids out here, man, that it's about unity out here. You know what I mean? It's about trying to do what you got to do for yourself and definitely respecting your parents out here, you know, because the streets don't love you back. The police ain't going to love you back. The jailhouse ain't going to love you back. The judge ain't going to love you back. And the government with all these 241 laws, they ain't going to love you back.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yes, sir.
Right,
so you know, you want to comment on that, Lonzel or Joe?
Yeah, hey. Yeah, I knew something was wrong when, you know, first thing that really stood out is that, you know, when they allowed that one kid to divorce his parents, how you divorce somebody that you're not even married to, first of all, and when you have a young cat to come in and to divorce your parents in a court of law, set the standard. That
right.
Means telling me that there's nothing that I can do. You mean telling me I can't do nothing to my kid? I can't discipline my kid. I can't make him through discipline is where we all came from. And I think that we can all remember that it's all something that we look back on and glad that it happened and glad that mama or daddy did it the way they did it because that's who we are today. And that's why we are. What we do, because kids, we don't know. You just think you know. We know nothing.
Yes.
You know, and I told one of the kids we work with today, I say the problem is that you think you know more than we know.
Right.
And I say, look, I'm going to tell you this here. There's some things I still don't know.
Amen.
You know, so
how you know it already and you 17?
Right.
Yeah, man. We having a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you know? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, any shout-outs you would like to give, Mr. Lonzel? And then I'm going to go over to Joe.
I do. I want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to the Streets Don't Love You Back. First of all, for having me and Joe Kelly on the show. Give a shout out to my wife, Miss Lenita Hill, who's down here with me, and my boy Miserio, who's running in the national track meet. You know, hoping he's listening. If he don't, we'll listen to it together so I can teach him something, so somebody else don't teach him.
My
that's
man.
Right.
And I'm gonna shout out to my homeboy, my boy for life on that other line.
Yes,
Joe
sir.
Kelly. I know him as the Bible.
There it is. So you got any shout outs, my man Joe?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it back to my boy. We call him Mo Did. You
yes,
know,
sir.
Yeah, but we call it Mo Did, and you know, definitely to the show, Streets Don't Love You Back, and like Lonzel was talking about, my two beautiful daughters, Brandy Joe Kelly, 13, and Kirkland, 9, and they'll both be competing next week in Des Moines, Iowa. You know, so like Lonzel said, it's about, you know, knowing your kids, raising your kids, and keeping involved in things, because like you said, if we don't, somebody will.
Amen.
And it's out there. It's about you know, and it's tough. It's tough for teenagers. You know, it's teenagers are, you know, they want to be accepted. You know, and a lot of them, you know, do the craziest things in order to be accepted. You know,
right.
and they're not even don't even have a clue. You know, of what they're doing, but, you know, that is their way because somebody else told them because, you know what, they didn't have one of us to tell them, no, that ain't the way you do it. You
Amen.
Know, so they did that, and before you know it, they done dug a hole so deep
they can't get out.
You know, so definitely shout out to, you know, Kelly Youth Service, you know,
Already.
And like I said, we gonna keep it moving and, you know, get through this. You know, this has been a tough year, you know, 2009 for a lot of folks. You know,
right.
we've been blessed, and, you know, we just are looking forward to, you know, things growing and prospering and, you know, staying blessed. You
Amen.
Know, so definitely, you know, partnering up with, you know, Streets Don't Love You Back and collaborating on a lot of different things. And, you know, I just think that the sky is unlimited as far we can go, you know, where we want to go. It's just about surrounding yourself with the right people, you know. And relaying all the stuff, the knowledge that we know to the generation coming up, you know, because I deal with them, and, you know, I tell the other folks involved in these kids' life, first of all, I ain't scared of them. You are. You know,
Amen.
you know, hey, we better, you know,
right.
we better give us the tools. You know, because like I said, you know, when they get out there and they running around as adults, you know, tatted up, you know, and strapped, you know, hey, I'm walking the same neighborhoods. You know,
right.
I'm not afraid of them.
Already,
know,
been there, did that.
Yeah, been there, done that. Matter of fact,
yeah.
did it twice.
Already. So, hey, you see that, ladies and gentlemen? My man Joe Kelly and my man Lonzel, we had a great, great show tonight, and we're going to go to my man Paul. Paul, you got any shout-outs you would like to give?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank our website, Be Free Pima, and thank you guys, Rob, well, also Lucinda. And,
definitely.
It was nice meeting you and Lonzo. I hope to be talking with you guys. I really enjoyed the show, and I want to thank you for having me on. Everything you said is right on. I mean, it was right on point, and I wish all the kids that, you know, I have and my youth groups could listen to this and hear some of this information. I mean, they've heard a lot, but this is good stuff. I mean, you have to keep telling them because they, for whatever reason, they forget.
That head get hard.
Yeah, every
yeah.
time I see them, it's like, you know, okay, did you remember? And it's like, no, I'm sorry, I forgot to do this or that. But
right, like once again, that excuse set in, Paul. You feel
that's
me?
Right. Stay on them, you know, that's the point. And you gotta,
right.
you know, these things that we grew up with and we learned and these values that we have, for whatever reason, they got lost on the road somewhere. So, you know, these things that we carry, we have to show them that. So
that's right. Make it visible for them, you know.
I had a great time, and it was nice talking to all you. And
thank
Lucinda.
You, Paul.
I grew up with her, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we grew up in the same community down in southern Arizona.
Yeah. So we're gonna say thank you to everybody, Paul, Joe, and Lonzel, and we're going to all say it at the same time. The streets don't what?
Love you back.
Love you back.
They don't
all
love
right.
you back.
All right. Hey, we appreciate everybody, and we're going to take the show off like we always do, me and Miss Lucinda, with the song In Need of a Change. And all those out there that's in need of a change, please change your life, and always remember,
yeah.
the streets don't love you back.
Yeah.
Anything you have to say before we cut the tune on, Miss Lucinda?
Yes, I do. Please
yes.
join us on our website. It's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And join us again next Wednesday night at 8:30 Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time. And again, we'd like to just thank you for joining in tonight. And again, always remember, the streets don't love you back. And we will see you next week.
Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah. LD. You know, far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.
Oh, yeah. is it. This is it. That second chance.
I woke from a dream feeling like I could scream once I realized that I'm still here. And sometimes these regrets won't let me forget that I done let down the best of my years. But you can see the drive in my eyes and the hint of surprise because I haven't served up to fear. And with my chance in the sky high, soak the sunshine, life is on the line with no place to tears. I'm in need of a change, maybe from the inside out. Let these troubles go strangers try to shut my mouth. I done seen a lot of things that I've never talked about. If I could do it all again, I never let them in my house. I done made some mistakes, apologize and reconcile. I done changed all my ways from what I was as a child. Stood on my mama, great rain pour down from the clouds. Dropped to my knees and prayed I'd have a reason to smile. I was a young and looking hard, running around in these streets, chasing girls, thought I'd learn all the world had to teach. But one day I'll out of wake, realized I didn't know it, and it hit me like a brick. Wish I could do it all again, but I can't, and I ain't. Anyway, I rant and rave, write my future like a book, as I turn another page, as the lights go down. I walk across the stage, rub the law full up, but more importantly, I pray that everything will be okay. And somehow I know it is, all I gotta do right now is get through this bullshit. Keep my chin to the sky, when my back's against the wall. Fuck out, I will fight, scratch and claw, and still stand tall in the belly of the beast. Be afraid of nothing in this world has got 2 feet. Sometimes I feel slip if I forget my sleep, but that's why I hit my knees soon as I leave the sheet. There's no more waiting. Life is not a game. Sometimes you might not get a second chance. What you got, don't be jealous of others, do for your damn self.